Now I have your numbers. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
Welcome back to the Leverage Podcast. We've got another story time with Robbie episode for you guys. And Nick is here, as always, to provide comedic support and relief. And when he laughs, you're supposed to laugh.
That's right.
You remember from last episode. So first. Fuck, I'm scared. Current updates. Well, right now it's February 11th, 2022. We still have this Russian-Ukrainian tension going on. Seems to be, well, we're in Istanbul right now.
Well, yeah, I haven't been feeling any of the tension at all because now that we're left, Istanbul. It's like.
And none of our friends who are in Ukraine have really mentioned much tension being felt. Like Ford hasn't mentioned any of it. However, Mickey is like on his way out today, and he sent me an article from what seems like a very credible source dispelling a lot of the myths about why or why not Putin would invade. And you know, there was a myth that like, oh, the ground will be muddy and he needs to do it before, you know, it unfreezes. So this guy goes into details like, it's not a problem. They've got like engineering brigades that can lay like, you know,
that's
50
what
meters
I thought
of road
when we were talking about this last time. I was like, yeah. Mud just seems like the weirdest reason to not go to war.
Yeah, he said that is just a total bullshit. And,
okay. Like we can nuke a country across the world, but we can't
deal with
crawl mud. Over some mud with our tanks.
Yeah, so he really went into a lot of the like technical military aspects of the situation. Maybe I'll post the link to the article below in the show notes if you guys want to check that out. He said Poland was actually buying a ton of like truck missiles that would deter against the Russian Air Force. And it's interesting that Poland is buying all of those up right now.
Yeah, I didn't realize Poland was a...
Yeah, I mean, if Russia invades Ukraine and takes it over, now that's
Poland's
their neighbor.
Poland's
next door. So this article is very concerning.
Yeah, but if Poland goes, that always triggers the rest of Europe.
Right. World War III.
Yeah.
But yeah, but the article is very concerning because it was talking about how, you know, Putin doesn't care about the Olympics. That was another myth. He's not going to invade until after the Olympics, or he's going to invade during the Olympics. This author was like, he doesn't give a fuck about the Olympics. He's, you know, a dictator who has his own sort of agenda, right? So yeah, there were like four other myths that he got into. So after reading the article, I was like, oh shit, I'm glad I'm not in Ukraine right now. Cause it seemed, it wasn't a fun article to read. And that's kind of in line with a lot of the Western sort of news.
I just assumed the West was hyperinflating all the bullshit.
Hard to say, you know, okay. But I got a message from my aunt this morning, you know, with, I think it had a screenshot of Biden telling all Americans should leave Ukraine. So it seems like it's amping up again, but.
Posturing. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong about the article. I trust this article guy who I don't know anything about a lot more than I trust the fucking American government.
That's true. So, he also went into a lot of the intelligence that was gathered in Kiev about, you know, from the Kremlin.
Okay.
So that's in the article too. So as I said, if you guys want to read that, check the show notes. We've been in Istanbul for almost 2 weeks now, week and a half. Surprisingly amazing city as far as day game goes. Mm-hmm. Nick has been hitting the streets. And give us your stats, like how many approaches, how many dates?
I did 12 yesterday. Not too many dates so far, but I mean, I haven't done like, you know, probably the volume I should to get a lot of that. I got a lot of numbers yesterday. So as far as last week, though, I think I did 16. Mm-hmm. And I had the Insta date that went really well. But not too many dates trickled out of that.
You had that Insta date that turned into a full day date, basically. And then you had another date with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think that's going really well. But, you know, it's hard to compare the numbers. I don't have enough numbers yet comparatively. But there's a lot of opportunity out there. If you're interested in doing day game, this is like a great place, I think, for just meeting tons of people on the street.
So yeah, Istanbul kind of has like the Manhattan vibes.
Yeah.
I feel like at least we're in Sicily. I forget the neighborhood, but it's kind of like smack dab in the center of Istanbul. Mm-hmm. Kind of feels like a mixture of Soho and maybe, yeah, it kind of feels like Soho. And lots of, you know, beautiful girls walking around, lots of foot traffic.
Lots of models.
Tons of models. There's a huge modeling, like, industry here. Tons of fashion stuff going on. I mean, that's the reason why we're here, is because Maria, my fiance, wanted to come and do modeling work. So me and Nick were dragged along. And but I'm very pleasantly surprised with the quantity and quality of the dating market here. Yeah. I didn't expect it to be nearly this good. And when I was here back in 2015, we were staying in a nicer area. It was called Bebek, which is right on the Bosphorus. It was kind of more like the super highbrow upper class neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And there were some women walking around, but not the foot traffic. That kind of felt more like San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And since it's right along the Bosphorus, you know, you don't really have like the crowded sort of, you know, grid system where you got tons of people walking around. You had just more like people jogging along the waterfront.
Oh, so that's why you were so psyched about Istanbul before.
Yeah, I was just in a different area.
Okay.
So, you know, it's such a huge city. The city's unbelievable. Yeah. Just from a pure like travel tourism reason, I find the city like incredibly interesting and cool, especially driving here. Driving here, I feel like I'm in like a GTA game.
Yeah.
Bridges and tunnels and people are the motorbikes, and like it's one-way streets, and these streets are crazy.
Like, there's like a 5 or 6 lane highway right outside of our apartment, and half of it is occupied with parked cars because there's just like chaos and people just park in the middle of the road for no reason sometimes, and then everybody behind them's got to navigate around, and people are jaywalking left and right. Like, there's, it's not like Ukraine where everything's ordered and you better stay out of the road because you get run over. It's like
chaos. And then if you're going somewhere and you accidentally miss a turn, you're completely fucked. You're going to end up on the other side of the river, through a tunnel. I went the wrong way on the way to the golf course the other day. It was like 23 minutes to your destination. Missed the turn on the highway, 47 minutes to your destination. That's awesome. I just doubled my drive time. So yeah, it's definitely like they say, if you can drive in Istanbul, you can drive anywhere. And I've driven in Egypt. I've driven Australia on the wrong side of the road, Cyprus on the wrong side of the road, New York City, all over the U.S., did a huge lap around all of Europe, driven in Ukraine, and yes, I so far found that to be true. However, I didn't drive in Vietnam, and I can only imagine driving in like Hanoi, where it's just motorbike infestation. Like, that's the craziest sort of situation. When you cross the street there, they have no crosswalks. So when you cross the street, and there's just nonstop motorbikes, and they're like a swarm of bees, and they move like a swarm. It's so interesting. So when you cross, you don't look both ways. You just look forward, and you walk at a normal rate, and they go around you. It's fucking terrifying. And occasionally there's like a big bus, right? So the buses and motorbikes. So if there's a bus coming, you watch for the bus because the bus isn't going to
move. Oh, okay.
But motorbikes, you just walk. It's...
And you're not supposed to look at them.
You don't look at them. Because if you look at them, you're like, and you're gonna, and they're gonna like crash at you, or they're gonna crash into each other. So
that is bizarre.
It's so crazy. Yeah. That, you know, Thailand is also crazy, so you with motorbikes. I haven't driven there yet, but
you gotta keep like peripheral vision.
No, you
for
don't
buses.
Want it. Right.
Like, you don't want to give your full view, but if you see a big bus coming, then you're like, oh, you gotta see them.
Yeah, I mean, you take one look across, you're like, no buses, and just swarms of motorbikes. You're like, all right, there's a motorbike coming. I'm just going to walk, and he's going to avoid me.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of faith. What if you get an idiot on a bike like I would be? Like, then you ask him for...
I think there, you got to really... I mean, I think it would be pretty easy to drive a motorbike there because you just kind of go with the swarm.
Okay.
And it's really interesting because you know how like bees fly and birds and they kind of fly with the pack. And as long as you're kind of like tapped into like people around you and you're not like, if you get in your head, you're probably going to crash. But if you're just like,
got to go instinctual.
Exactly. You know,
you got to access your inner bird.
Yes. Trust that like whatever internal balance guidance system you have and just, you know, go with the flow, bro. Feel the energy, man.
Surf the crowd.
So, yeah. If anyone's interested in doing some day game, we might be doing an immersion here coming up maybe in March or April. So if you're a member of the Leverage Group or you're interested in getting some live coaching, check that out. You can learn more about that just by joining the Leverage Group. And today we're going to be diving into kind of a follow-up story that I told last week. If you missed last week's episode, check that out. It's the story of my first time in Odessa and how I almost got my liver and kidney stolen. the abduction story. And this is basically what happened when I came back to Ukraine. So summer of 2015, after hanging out in Odessa for a couple weeks, had a ton of fun, met that crazy guy I told you about, had that, you know, insane experience, didn't bang the girl, but I had so much fun hooked up with other girls when I was in Odessa, I had to come back to Ukraine. It was just like, this place is amazing. You know, we finished up the immersion, spent some time in Belgrade, Serbia, went to Budapest, we were in Istanbul too. Then I flew back to Odessa and spent some more time there, kind of, you know, had some open leads that I wanted to close, better word. and then that same guy, he's like, dude, you got to come to Kyiv. He's like, Odessa is kind of like LA and Kyiv's like New York, if you're going to compare. And I wouldn't really make that comparison, but
there's two big cities.
It's kind of interesting though. All the big cities in Ukraine are in the shape of a T. You have Kyiv on the top, Odessa on the bottom. In the east, you have Kharkiv, and in the west, you have Lviv. So if you wanted some Ukraine geography info, now you have it. But those are really the only four cities that are big enough for where like a tourist would really kind of enjoy their time, especially someone watching this show who's interested in meeting women. The smaller cities and those sort of like second tier cities are cool too. And I definitely can recommend some of those, but I digress. So anyways, flying back to Odessa, catch a ride to Kyiv from a buddy. And my first impression of Kyiv was like, wow, this place is just filled with even more beautiful women than Odessa. And it's more of a city vibe. So there's a lot more foot traffic, people traffic, girls walking around, awesome for day game. Kyiv has become a little bit like saturated with pickup guys and approachers. So, you know,
that's another thing about Istanbul. I can tell it's like, you don't see other guys approaching and the reactions you get from girls. It's a lot easier, so much easier to stop people here.
Right.
But I feel like, actually, I almost think it's easier in Kyiv in a way, because if somebody does stop, it's not like there's this whole unfamiliarity with the concept of being hit on the streets. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, they're kind of like, the fuck?
Right.
So, yeah, it's been kind of interesting with that.
Yeah, it's definitely, there's not as many approachers here, that's for sure. We haven't seen any.
No.
Maybe we don't have a big enough, you know, sample size or time here yet, but I think is that in Kyiv, you see them like all the time.
It might also be though that the best street obviously is Krasatik in Kyiv. And here maybe there's not any single best street, because I've noticed a whole bunch of different places that are really good.
Yeah.
So there might just be more dispersion amongst those pickup dudes.
Right. In a city that has like a very obvious downtown, it was like one main drag.
Yeah.
All the day gamers are going to be there basically versus somewhere like New York City. You can really day game anywhere, right? Big city like that. So I'm out in Kyiv, and that same guy, Sasha, he was like, hey, let's go to a party. This guy I met in Odessa invited me to a birthday party he's hosting at the top of the Intercontinental Hotel. And I was like, okay, what kind of party is it? He's like, I don't know, but this guy seems crazy. He's probably going to have like a ton of hot chicks and let's go. And I'm like, do we need to bring girls? He's like, nah. And I thought that was kind of weird.
Okay.
Because as someone who's thrown a lot of parties and understands the importance of a good ratio, like I just feel really awkward showing up to someone else's party. I don't know them without like really bringing anything.
You didn't assume, I mean, okay, so you're worried it's going to suck or you're thinking this guy's such a baller. He's got all his own women that guys don't need to bring.
I really didn't know, but I just always hate walking into somewhere like empty handed.
Yeah.
And it was at a hotel, so it felt a little bit awkward to like bring.
It's like showing alcohol up to a house party without wine.
Yeah.
Robbie showing up to a party without girls is right. Faux pas.
Yeah, in my strange world, like I had, you know, with all the crazy sort of parties I'd thrown and in the US leading up to that, like, yeah, it was a huge faux pas to show up without girls. So, but he's like, no, just trust me, let's just go me and you. So I'm like, okay. So we show up to, they had rented out like the top like whole bar area of the Intercontinental, which is an amazing venue. It overlooks Mikhailivka Square, where the, you know, right by my place where the big church is, by your place too, with a view of like the Dnipro River, and it's like this huge patio. And there was probably 30 to 40 women, maybe like 8 guys. And that made me feel even worse about not bringing it. Like, clearly, these people had like a lot of thought. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Vulture. And the way that they kind of looked at us when we walked in, they're like, who the fuck are these guys? And it was a strange group of guys. It was like not what you'd expect. So the quality of women was like extremely high. Beautiful, young, sexy women everywhere, right? And then the guys were mostly like kind of fat, older, sugar daddy looking, you know, sponsor types.
Okay.
Right. And they're probably not super stoked on seeing like me and that's what this I'd other guy thinking, walking man. In. They're like,
I prepare an amazing buffet for me and my friends, and then 2 obese people walk in. You know, that's what it's like.
Oh man, that's an amazing analogy. So yeah, I kind of say some hellos, shake some hands, find my buddy on the balcony, I'm talking to this other girl, and the girls are like extremely friendly, giving me tons of love, very flirtatious. And after maybe like, you know, 20 minutes of hanging out, I'm like, okay, I need to really meet the host of this party because I don't want to get thrown out. And I don't want to feel like a mooch or an obese person in the buffet. So first I talked to this one dude who I thought was a host of the party. His name is Vlad. And he looks like a Ukrainian version of like Super Mario without the mustache. Like a shorter, like buff guy. I guess Super Mario's not very buff. But think of like
short and stout.
Yeah. Like a bodybuilder, but really short. And I'm blonde. Like a fucking character. This guy, like, immediately he pulls out his phone. He's showing me like pussy photos and he's just like going nuts. And I'm like, all right. So then next to him, he's like, and this is Vitaly. Vitaly.
Same as Vitaly.
The owner of he is the party maker here. And so, and then of course, immediately Vitaly then like one ups Vlad with his pussy photos. It's like pussy party, pussy photos. Like girls stacked on each other, pussy photos. I'm like, all right. So, you know, to feel like one of the boys, right? I must have my pussy photos. So, you know, it's like two stupid kids comparing baseball cards. Like, look at this rookie card. I got this one. Blah, blah. Right?
Was it a sharing or a competition thing?
It was like a dick measuring contest. Okay, yeah, sort of thing. Okay. But I couldn't.
Friendly competition?
I couldn't compete.
You couldn't compete? Oh, like, man.
And at that time, I felt like I could compete with just about anyone.
Yeah.
And so when he showed me what, I was like, all right, this makes sense. This is why, because I was hosting those sorts of, you know, similar sort of ratio parties with models in New York City, LA, like, you know, I considered myself at the very top of the totem pole when it came to that sort of stuff. So to meet this guy who was definitely doing it in Ukraine, but to a larger degree, I was impressed, right? But he was able to kind of read that that similar level of like party status, I guess you could say, or like access to women. So we kind of hit it off right away. And turns out he was throwing the party for this girl, Sveta, which was, he called her his wife. So I just assumed they were married, given wife, right?
Makes sense, right?
some foreshadowing for later.
Okay.
So we kind of like, you know, after a while, I'm having a lot of fun at the party, but my buddy's like, hey, let's get out of here. Let's go to like one of the clubs in Arena City. I'm like, why would we leave? You know, I made friends with the party host. We're welcome to stay.
Let's find a room.
This is the best ratio that we're going to find in the world right now. Like, why the fuck would we leave this party? He's like, no, man, we got to go. And since he kind of brought me, I felt weird about dishing him. But I begrudgingly left, and we went to one of the nightclubs. It was called Bacardi Terrace at the time. And then like an hour later, I understood why he wanted to leave, because Sveta, the girl whose birthday party was being thrown for her at the Intercontinental, showed up. And she was with a friend of hers who was also at the party. This girl had curly hair. Wasn't bad, but wasn't really my type. Like, I wasn't like super attracted to her, but Sveta was really hot. And then my buddy told me, he's like, this girl, Sveta, really wants to bang me. And that's why I wanted to leave, because she told me to meet her here. And okay, let's go back and, you know, like fuck these girls at your apartment.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, so it was like, they're both down to fuck? Like, you already figured this out? He's like, yeah, I think so.
All I know is at least my girl is.
My girl's down.
Good luck. Right. Good luck, bro. I made you leave that potential orgy so I could get fucked.
Fucking bullshit. So,
I mean, you gotta take the good with the bad. You know, he brought you to these amazing parties and stuff, you know?
So, and, you know, at the club, I interacted a little bit with the curly hair girl, mm-hmm. and she was giving me love, but Sveta was not. Sveta was very sort of cold.
There for Sasha.
And I wasn't that interested in the curly hair girl, but when I asked my buddy, he made it seem like, yeah, they're probably both down, right? So anyways, we get back to my apartment, and, you know, Airbnb, I rented one bedroom apartment, nice place in the center. He immediately like takes Sveta and like, you know, starts making out with her on the bed. I make out a little bit with the curly haired girl, but I'm pretty like drunk at this point and definitely whiskey dicked. Didn't have any Viagra either. And I'm just really not that into this girl. So he starts banging Sveta. I'm like trying to bang the curly hair girl. My body's just like, nah, man, like it's not gonna happen. It's not gonna work for you, you know? And then at some point
What does trying to bang look like?
You know, we're making out, I'm like fingering her, she's touching my dick,
and it's not getting hard.
It's not getting hard. You know,
oh, man. And she's so upset.
She's starting to get upset, and she's starting to like, so she goes to smoke a cigarette, and like I kind of go and like hang out. I don't smoke, but I was like hanging out. And then she starts kind of like making fun of me, like, what's wrong with your dick, blah, blah, blah. Like pretty aggressively.
And like, that's gonna make it better.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet, you like, emasculated me now.
Yeah,
hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I love to be taunted.
And then Sasha, you know, and he's, you know, it's kind of like an open floor plan. So he's banging Sveta, like totally out in the open, and just like pile driving her, like going, like, you know, he's on top. She's got her legs behind her, like angles behind her shoulders, and he's just like doing push-ups on her, just like. Bah,
bah, bah, bah. I'm just imagining this is a movie, and your curly hair girl in the foreground, like talking about your limp dick, and she's making fun of you. In the background, he's like, like in the far background, Vitaly's just plowing this girl all over the apartment, slamming her on various couches.
No, Vitaly's not there. The other guy, Sasha. But he's like. He's fucking her like the Energizer buddy, like just like, you know. And I assume like he's gonna finish, right? And because they're banging for like a good 20 minutes at like a ridiculous speed, I'm like, wow, I'm impressed with his stamina and his like, you know, his Energizer buddy keeps going.
Yeah.
But they don't, and then when they come out, I'm just kind of assuming like, okay, cool, now we can swap. Right? And my dick's definitely going to work for Sveta.
Oh, yeah? Right? You liked her a lot more?
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Also, it was an attraction issue.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wasn't that into the curly hair. Really, okay. You know, with a combination of that plus, you know, having some alcohol in my system. And, yeah, it just was like... The other thing that can help or hurt guys from getting an erection, too, it's like if you've had this slight feeling of discomfort, that can definitely kill your hard-on. And just the whole situation was making me a little bit, was just a little strange because I didn't know.
Discomfort with the situation, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know, like, usually before an orgy or before, like, a group sex event, like, it's very clear, like, who's in bounds and who's out of bounds, right? And that wasn't clear when I asked my buddy, right? So then it became clear.
It wasn't clear that the curly-haired girl was yours?
It wasn't clear that, like... He basically just wanted to bang Sveta.
Yeah.
I didn't care about the curly hair girl. Uh-huh. Also wanted to bang Sveta. And, but I didn't know that Sveta had no interest.
Sveta was off limits or.
Right. Okay. Exactly. And then I come to find out after they have sex that Sveta is off limits.
Oh, yeah.
And she's only there to cheat on her husband, Vitaly, with Sasha. Okay. So, like, okay. Interesting. And that, like, even killed my. You know, desire even more. You know, and I tried talking to Sveta a little bit. She was just like totally ice cold.
Hmm.
And just really, you know, not feeling it. So then he starts banging the curly hair girl a little bit. And it's just now stupid and awkward. I'm like sitting there.
Yeah, trying well, to speak girls to Sveta. Get parked in front of you.
Right. I'm like trying to like sort of talk to Sveta. And it's not like I can leave. I'm at my fucking own apartment. Right. It's not like I'm like, all right, guys, like you guys have a threesome. I'm like, it's my fucking flat. Uh-huh. Right. You know, Sveta speaks almost no English, right? Very little. And just there was like it was a painful conversation. So now he's pile driving curly hair girl for another like 20, 30 minutes. And by this time I'm like, come on, like we got to fucking wrap this party up. Like this, you know, I'm feeling like shit. I just want to go to bed. So, and then he starts banging Sveta again.
God damn.
And I try one more time to like, maybe.
Is he on drugs or something?
Maybe. I don't know. I try one more time to it's like.
A lot of physical effort.
Yeah. I was impressed with the, you know, like I said. So then I try one last time to see if, you know, my dick's going to work with the curly hair girl. Yeah. And no. And now she's even more, like, annoyed.
And aggressive.
Yeah. And aggressive. And we kind of get, like, an argument. And, you know, I wasn't, like, a dick to her. But I was like, you just fuck off. You know? Like, I was dismissive.
Uh-huh.
In, like, I wasn't disrespectful. But I wasn't happy. I'm like, you don't need to fucking insult me in my own house. Like, sorry. Like, I didn't say, like, my dick doesn't work because you're not hot. Obviously, uh-huh. But that's kind of what I wanted to say. Like, and
yeah, so she's just giving you shit because it's easier than feeling bad about herself.
Yeah. So then my buddy finishes up and he comes out and he's like, you know, he's got a fucking big ass smile on and he's like, oh, I have to go, like obviously thinking about himself. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, I'm fucking tired. Can we wrap this party up? And he gets extremely offended. He's like, what do you mean, dude? This is like friendship ending fucking bullshit right here.
Huh.
I'm like, all right, man, if this is the end of our friendship, I guess this is the end. Fucking, you know, have a good night, man. Bye-bye. Right? Because that really pissed me off. Uh-huh. Like, what the fuck do you have, you know, any sort of like, you know, what are you mad about? What did I do? I let you use my house.
Yeah.
Right? I provided alcohol. I provided the entire thing. I left that good party so you could go. And like, obviously he had some sort of, you know, like connection with Sveta, which is why he wanted to leave. Cause she wanted to leave her own birthday party to leave her husband to come right. And bang. And I was just a pawn in his game, you know? So that really kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I was like, fuck this guy. Right. Like I did absolutely nothing out of bounds. If anything, I was extremely hospitable. So, you know, he's pissed. The girl, you know, the girls leave and I, you know, I'm like, fuck this. This is bullshit. Go to bed angry, you know, because I felt like it was just a shitty night. And, you know, I provided the orgy without benefiting from it. Like, everyone's worst orgy nightmare.
Yeah.
So, wake up the next morning, I've got a text from Vlad, you know, the bus builder. He's like, come to my office. I'm like, for what? He's like, let's have a meeting. Okay. So, go to his office. It's like not really in the center. Kiev's big, but I was only familiar with like the old city. And this is a little bit outside of it. Kind of like this weird office building. I walk in and it's an AstroTurf company. Probably like six or seven little offices and like a board meeting room, you know, not super fancy, not super nice, but not bad. You know, kind of just look like your standard 30 person size company. A decent sized company.
Okay.
And I walk in, I'm greeted by this beautiful, you know, Ukrainian, like, I guess she was like a secretary. I'm like, hi, I'm here to see Vlad. And she goes, okay, come with me. She takes me into the office and he's sitting at the chair and he, you know, her name's like Tatiana. And he's like, Tatiana, Tatiana, man. And he starts feeling her up.
And he goes, strangest AstroTurf company.
I was like literally grabbing her tits and he's like, Tatiana has best tits in the whole office. Come feel, come try. I'm like, ah, so uncomfortable. I have no fucking idea. I'm like, this is like straight out of like, you know, the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, what's that TV show?
Mad Men.
Mad Men. I'm like, this is like that level of like office sexual harassment. What the fuck? No, but she
at least she's generous, you know.
Yeah, and she's just like standing there, like awkwardly smiling. Like, I'm like, does she like it? And she's just like, does she put up with it, sort of thing? And so it was just a very weird situation, right? Of course, I didn't grab her. I was just like sitting there, and, ha, 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 and then she leaves, and he's like, okay, so listen, I'm having a meeting in like 5 minutes. I need you to pretend you're one of our clients. And I'm like, why? I'm like, he's like, oh, it'll be funny. Just for a joke. I'm like, all right. Like, I mean, I do know a lot about AstroTurf because I'm a golfer. And so if you want, I can pretend to be like a country club owner from the U.S. who's thinking about investing in a large portion of AstroTurf for my new driving range. He's like, oh, it's perfect, perfect. It's not mine. So, you know, this other guy walks in. He's like, this is Robbie. He owns a golf course in America. We want to send him all the AstroTurf. And I'm like, yeah, I need all the AstroTurf. And oh, good, 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 amazing. And then, like, that was the end of the meeting. And then he's like, okay, I'll be right back. And then he leaves. And then 5 minutes. So I'm just now like sitting here. I'm like, fuck, am I going to get another like liver kidney stolen? Like, this is a fucking weird situation. I don't know why he invited me to this meeting. What the fuck is happening?
And why really pissed Tatiana left.
So then 5 minutes later, a new girl comes in. Let's call her like Olga, right? Okay. So Olga sits at the desk. Olga's also very beautiful. And Vlad is like, Olga, Olga, stay with Robbie. Robbie, you should date Olga. Very sexy. Right. So then he shuts the door and I'm like, all right. Hi, Olga. What's going on? You know, she speaks now almost no English. So, you know, I'm kind of flirting with her because that's kind of what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I feel like this guy just brought me in to like, you know, introduce me to his like employees so I could fuck them.
Okay.
Right. I'm like, that's the only thing that kind of makes sense given he was at this party and maybe he's just swimming in so much vagina he just wants to share with his buddies.
Just a philanthropist at this point.
Yeah. So he comes back and he's like, Olga has best pussy in entire office. Did you feel? Like, no, I haven't had the opportunity. And he starts rubbing her pussy. Like, over her jeans, of course. And then he's like, okay, I have another meeting. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm like, listen, Vlad, is anything specific you wanted to talk about? And he's like, oh, no, not really. You know, I just wanted to meet and hang on and get to know you better. And I'm like, all right, well, I got to run. I didn't have to go, but I was like, this is fucking dumb.
Weird.
Right? So as I'm leaving, guess who I see?
The dog.
The curly-haired girl.
Oh, okay.
And he introduces me to, like, eight people on the way out. Like, they're all in, like, the boardroom. And we're like walking past the boardroom with the door open. And he like pulls me in. He's like, "Oh, this Robbie, meet the office." And it's like, this is Inga and Irina. And he said the curly hair girl's name. I think her name was like Christina or something. Okay. And I'm like, "Oh shit, that's the same girl from the orgy last night." I'm like, "This is so awkward. Holy shit!" Because you know we left she on like
mean bad mugging terms. You and everything.
No, she was like smiling and like you know being normal. But I shook her hand, like pretending I didn't know her.
Yeah.
So just fucking so awkward. And
you must have really made a good impression on Vlad the day before then.
Yeah, I did. I'm later on, like we ended up hanging out, but that's kind of like where the, so I was just shocked about just the rampant, office sexual harassment. I don't even think you call it harassment because the women seem like generally, well, I don't know.
Is the AstroTurf company just a front for like a porn industry though? Like knowing Vitaly and.
No, it was a legit company.
Okay.
Legit AstroTurf company. It was, as far as I know, but just a very strange situation.
I mean,
this was my first introduction to like business in Ukraine. So I'm just like, is this place is totally stuck in the 60s with like sexual harassment just like as the norm? And I found out no, that's not the case. That was just a very small sector of like these crazy sex people that I had met. And Ukraine actually isn't like that. There's a lot of normalcy there. But you know, fast forward to 2018, after you know, I became friends with Vitaly and you know, we hosted some events together. And after like in the summer of 2018, I was having a birthday party in Greece and Vitaly was like, "Hey, I want to send a couple girls. They want to come to your party." You know, they thought it was amazing. We rented a villa and like a beautiful little like coastal Greece, like island. And he's like, "I want to send my ex-girlfriend Sveta." And I didn't put two and two together, right? So it turns out Sveta was not his wife. He just calls all the girls like in his harem his wives. and I'll get to this point in a second. So he sends this girl Sveta and her friend. And then when they show up, I'm like, "Oh my God, it's the same Sveta from the orgy." And she definitely didn't remember me, you know, like, and I mean,
why would she?
She was there to like bang my buddy and they was whatever. So fast forward a couple of days, we end up hooking up and so I felt like I finally redeemed myself 3 years later.
You eventually fucked them all, right?
Eventually, yes. And after we fucked, I was like, "Hey, Sveta, you remember your birthday party at the Intercontinental Hotel in 2015? And she's like, "Yes." "You remember a little orgy in an apartment afterwards?" And her eyes go, "Oh, it's you?" Like, "Yep." I was like, "Yeah, it was some fucking bullshit that you told me." I'm like, "Oh my God, we were dying." Turns out, the reason why Sveta and Vitaly, I found out later from him, I'm like, "So what's the backstory with Sveta?" Like, and I told him about the whole like banging in the internet because I had kind of hidden that story from him after all those years because I didn't want him to feel bad that maybe his girl was like cheating on him with this other guy. She left her own birthday party to go.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
But then I found out later that he's extremely non-monogamous and you know has tons of like casual relationships. But so she ended up
it's kind of weird to leave your own birthday party regardless. So
it is. It is so. Turns out she was pissed off. Because they were like the closest. That's why he called her kind of like the wife. They had like the closest relationship, but eventually she got tired of his crazy sort of partying ways. And to get back at him, she robbed his apartment, stole his car, and then crashed the car. And fucked another dude in his bed.
Seems like a healthy way to handle that.
Super healthy. Somehow they got over those indifferences. And she ended up at my birthday party. So after that,
reasonable people can move forward, you know?
No problem.
You can find common ground.
So I moved to Kiev after the summer of 2018 and Sveta and I continued, you know, hooking up on a casual basis, kind of like once every week or two. Mm-hmm. And it was always the same thing. We'd meet at like a club. I'd be out anyways. She'd show up. We'd go back to her apartment and we'd bang. And then I would leave, and that was kind of the extent to our relationship. But then I later found out that she had a boyfriend that whole time too.
Hmm.
So, moral of the story, Sventas are cheaters.
No. Sventas. From one, from a sample size of one.
No, this girl, oh my God. I mean, I love her to death. She's yeah, I wouldn't date her.
I don't know if it's cheating, right? Because she's
this was a real boyfriend. Yeah. So, but just absolute crazy shit. And that was my introduction to Kiev life. Kiev.
You ever do anything with Sasha after that? Was that the last time you met up with him?
Yeah, basically.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was basically the like my introduction to the whole crazy sort of underground Kiev sex party world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ended up going to Vitaly's birthday party the following February, and he rented the train, basically, like the last four cars of a train, and had this huge birthday party in Western Ukraine in the Carpathian Mountains. And he had like 120 people, it was like 20 guys, whoa, 100 wow, chicks show up to this hotel he rented. It was like a spa and a hotel in the mountains, and just threw like a weekend long bash. So maybe I'll tell that story next.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
But yeah, so on one hand, I was pissed at Sasha for, you know, he had the threesome from the story from, you know, abducted in Odessa story that I missed out on. And then he had this threesome without me. But, you know, he did introduce me to...
part of that's your fault, though.
What? Which part?
Well, if you didn't have the limp dick thing, you would have been
in
the middle of that. At least you would have gotten one of the two.
The one I had no interest in, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I can't really blame too much.
So it's not that bad, then. He's fucking a girl you have no interest in, right?
Yeah. No, I guess... I wanted to bang Sventa.
Yeah,
and that's the whole reason why I agreed to like going home.
Oh, because you thought you had a chance to set that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were okay. I thought when you were asking, "Am I going to get a fuck?" you meant with the curly hair girl.
No. These two girls are down to bang, right? And he's like, "Yeah."
Oh, when you asked that, I thought you were in my context. If I asked that, I'm asking is the other girl. To bang and Sveta's down to bang you kind of thing. Like these two girls are down to bang means we can pair off with these. You were thinking in the orgy context, both of these girls are down to bang both of us.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's why you're uncomfortable, because you couldn't tell where you stood with Sveta.
Right. And I asked him point blank, and because I'm like, yeah, listen, I don't really want to leave if it's just like me with the curly hair girl.
Yeah.
Like that into her.
He's like, yes, this guy really gave you the ringer.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Bullshit. And then he was mad at me for ending the party.
Yeah.
Come on. So hopefully a good story. Scale 1 to 10.
Yeah. Well, still no happy ending yet compared to two stories with bad endings so far.
I feel like the stories are more interesting when they end bad. There's so many that end good.
That's true.
I mean, I guess, are there any learning lessons to take away from the story?
Well,
I mean, don't show up to a party without, you know, some value.
Well, it worked out well for you, though.
It did, because I was able to network with the main guys.
Yeah.
And I had that.
These stories are all, like, counterintuitive in the end. Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. So, no, it would have been better if we did bring a couple girls.
Uh-huh.
Because I would have felt like I could stay. And I wouldn't have felt like I was...
Following this guy around and following his lead.
Right.
I mean, the lesson I take from it is these kind of crazy, somewhat toxic guys can still be useful.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've had experiences with that, right? Where you got to take the good with the bad in some way. Because if you didn't have this guy that you eventually kicked him out of your life, but you wouldn't have come to Kiev.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have met Vitaly in that whole
totally
area of your life. So maybe take the good with the bad and know when you're getting taken advantage of too much and you got to cut ties.
Right.
Yeah, because I think the temptation with a lot of people also would have been like to recognize that he's bringing value in a way and just to let him sit there and kind of take advantage of the situation and everything. So I'm actually hearing you tell the story. I'm like, huh, I wonder if I would have done the same thing, gotten pissed off and stood up for myself in that, or I'd have just been like, well, he's the guy who brings all the girls. I guess let him fuck in my bed all the time. I don't know.
Yeah. No, so it was, yeah, you definitely have to make sure that you're sort of nurturing these relationships and getting the right value out of it, because these people can't take advantage of you if you're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and I guess networking at the party is the real strong takeaway. Instead of going for all the girls like a thirsty dude, you were making sure you were cool with the guys, which totally paid off in dividends later on.
Huge. Yeah. And then I ended up hooking up with one of the girls I met at that party.
As well, yeah.
From, you know, the first like 20 minutes or so. But the main thing was I made these cool relationships with Vlad and Vitaly.
Yeah.
And that led to, like, you know, you meet one amazing dude with a huge network of cool guys and girls, and that one guy can radically change your entire social circle. Like, I moved to fucking Kiev because of the social circle that, you know, he sort of set up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then we started doing parties and so on and so forth. So, you know, a lot of guys are like, how do I build a social circle? And that's certainly something we teach in the group, mm-hmm. like how you can methodically build it. And what usually happens is when you are building it, you know, even if you kind of follow the paint by numbers approach that we give, at some point you are going to meet an amazing sort of dude who's a connector, who will then introduce you to this whole other spinoff of his circle. And that can, you know, take you to kind of like the finish line of having this awesome social circle. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying you have to meet that guy, but odds are if you're doing all the right things, you will meet that guy. You know, like my process of meeting that guy was going to an after party, approaching, right, as I talked about in that last episode, meeting another cool guy who then introduced me to this other cool guy.
Yeah.
So it goes back to the fact that, like, if you're out there meeting cool people, you know, taking risks and being social, and you can walk the walk, like, game recognized game.
And I think that's the important part, is because you were developing this part of you, he recognized who you were at the same time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, like, we were able to immediately have that bond.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, I see that you're not a value sucker. You're not a leech. You're not coming in here to steal my girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, that the following summer, I actually came back with my girlfriend, Carly, at the time, and I introduced her to Vitaly. And he was like, oh my God, I had sworn off American girls. I thought they were all, like, you know, horrible little feminists. Like, that's why, because he's American, that's why I moved back to Ukraine. Well, he's Ukrainian American. He's, like, you know, very Ukrainian.
Mm-hmm.
But and like, I think he was born in America, was served in the army in America, but moved back to Ukraine. His parents were both from Ukraine. So, like, mm-hmm. but he had, like, sworn off American girls. And then when he met Carly, he was like, holy shit, American girls can be cool.
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe I'll tell some. The birthday party story next week.
Do you ever meet guys similar to how he met you, but he had the girls? Do you ever have, like, a harem of girls with you? You meet a guy that's just by himself and you're like, oh, he's cool, and you bring him into your group, kind of thing like that, and show him your girls?
Yeah, that's definitely happened. You know, lots of times when I was out at, like, nightclubs, or many times when I was doing these parties and I'd be with, like, a big crew of girls, you know, usually most guys that come up, it's obvious they're just, you know, there to mooch.
Yeah.
But occasionally you meet a guy who's, like, really cool. For example, the guy when we were driving to Istanbul, just, you know, about a month ago, I stopped in Bucharest, Romania, and I stayed at that dude's awesome place. I posted about it on Instagram. It was, like, that amazing penthouse with the mannequins everywhere. Did you see that post? Yeah. So he is a dude that I met at a music festival when I was with, like, a huge crew of chicks. And you know, he was just, like, super awesome dude.
I had
the crew of girls.
Yeah.
His name's Pico, Arpad Pico. And he's, like, half Hungarian, half Romanian. And I met him at this music festival at Balatone Sound in Hungary. And he just had awesome energy, and I could tell he was, like, really good with women. And you know, he was obviously interested in the girls, but we were kind of just, like, bonding. And he took us out of his boat, and you know, he wanted to hook up with one of the girls, but he was, like, zero creepy, zero aggressive, just understood, like, the long game.
Okay.
Strategy. And we remain friends, like, to this day.
So
I stayed with him, like I said, a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Is it just kind of like, you know, he Like, what? How's the interaction different? He just doesn't look thirsty about the girls, and he's more interested in talking to you.
Doesn't look thirsty. He's interested in talking to me, and he understands that the way he gets the girls is through me.
Yeah.
Right. Because if we become buddies, and he's now an asset to me, and like he can provide value to me, especially since he's got a boat, right? Like we're doing cool shit now because of him. He understands that like he can use that capital to become a valuable part of this social circle. Mm-hmm. So he's like, okay, look, here's a guy, obviously seems cool, has a bunch of hot chicks with him. How can I become part of their group? Well, I have this boat, I'm a cool dude. As long as I know how to present that without looking like I'm just a guy to leech the girls, then like, and he understood that on whatever unconscious level, you know, whether he was thinking that, but you know, guys who are really good at the stuff, like they get that. They're like, yeah. Okay, how can I make the situation better? How can I give this guy value? Because if he's the ringleader, then, you know, now I'm going to be vetted by him and all the girls are going to think I'm cool because he thinks I'm cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's always, if you do see, you know, a big group of women with a small amount of guys, never approach the girls.
Right.
Ever. You know, that's always what you see guys doing. It's like, oh, yeah. Look at all those chicks. I'm going to go talk to them. And like, it's totally disrespectful to the dudes. Because even if the girl likes you, you're going to get cock blocked.
Yeah.
Every time, 100% of the time. Like the guy has to cock block you.
Mm-hmm.
And the other girls will cock block you. The other guys will cock block you, even if they don't care about the girl. Because it's just such a like form of.
It's disrespectful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in these party environments, because typically
they did the work to bring them out. They're paying for them,
right? You know, yeah. So there's no point in approaching the girls and trying to like hit on the girls.
It's interesting. Yeah,
you need to access the men first.
Hmm.
And if you have nothing of value to offer them, good luck. Like you're you know.
So if we don't have a boat, what do we offer them? Just conversation.
Proper conversation, yeah. I mean, it's that's a really difficult scenario. We are at a nightclub, and it's purely an access thing. Odds are there's a security guard. If you got a 12 girls and 4 guys at the table, there's going to be security there. But if it's like a festival thing, and maybe you've got a house there, or you have the boat, or you're just like a local guy with insider knowledge. Like I met other guys that I thought were really cool too at the festival, and those guys didn't have a boat, but they were like cool local Hungarian guys who seemed genuinely interested in me. Mm-hmm. And maybe they were interested in the chicks, but it wasn't super obvious that they were just like using me as a way to get in. And I'm totally like, if the guy can befriend me, I'm like, and the girl, I'm not hooking up with the girl. Why do I care?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll happily like cock promote.
Cock promoter. What a guy.
What a guy. So
interesting stuff. It's very helpful, I think, for a lot of guys. Kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense, but your instincts, it goes against your instincts, you know, just to
totally. So let's get into one of the recent posts in the Leverage group. I'm going to share the screen here. So Ford posted this and says, it's got a link to Dan Blazarian's new book called The Setup. It says, apparently Robbie and Dan Blazarian on the same life path, retired fuckboys. I haven't read The Setup, but the moral of the story, you know, he goes into like how he created the lifestyle for himself. And the guys who have read it said it's very similar to like what I did. Essentially, it's the same thing. The same process. I coach all my sort of like lifestyle design high-end clients who are trying to build something like that. Because the reason why you want to build it is to get access to higher quality women. But eventually, the reason why Ford said we both ended up the same place is because I got just sick of, you know, banging new girls. And
what do you mean by these high, you said certain kind of clients? You said high access or something?
Well, guys who want to get into like social circle sort of thing, it's usually because they're struggling with access.
Okay, but they're usually got, you're talking about clients that already have a lot of money, just context for listeners.
Yeah.
Guys that have a lot of money are pretty decent with girls, but they want to get to that next level of, instead of like night game or day game, they want to move the social circle type stuff.
Yeah. So typically, you know, guys will find themselves, if you have enough success where you're not thirsty for sex, right? Mm-hmm. There's that level of, the level of guy where you aren't able to kind of have a sex on demand type of lifestyle, right?
You are
like
not
forced. It's like forced either celibacy or forced monogamy.
Okay.
Meaning the only time you get laid is if you're in a monogamous relationship, right? Because that's the only girl who's going to agree to sleep with you is your girlfriend.
Yes.
Right. So that's forced monogamy. And then there's forced celibacy, which is like an incel or involuntary celibacy. Sorry.
Most of the other guys. Yeah.
Incel, right?
Yes.
To move out of incel into forced monogamy, right? Yes. You need to at least be able to get a girlfriend.
Right.
But then to move to like a sort of an environment where you're voluntarily non-monogamous, mm-hmm. I think they call it, where you can have, you know, fuck buddies, casual relationships, juggle some girls, right? Like most women are either any girl who's hot can by default be in that sort of level of,
sure.
Like she's juggling multiple guys. Like every hot girl has a dude.
Mm-hmm.
She might not be monogamous with him, but there's some dude that's at like the top of her pyramid that she could call anytime to come over and have sex, right? And maybe he wants to be with her, or maybe she wants to be with him, but he's banging other girls. But like women always have access.
She basically has a harem of dudes.
Exactly. Whether or not she's sleeping with all of them doesn't matter.
Right.
And I'm saying as a guy, you want to get to that same level where you not necessarily have a harem of girls, right? Because social justice warriors out there will listen to that and be like, ah, you're an asshole. It's like, no, you know, you want to have the options.
Women that, yeah, you, right? You're confident and that if you wanted sex tonight, you could figure it out.
Exactly. And once you kind of get to that level, then you can really choose if you want monogamy from a certain girl because you have something to be able to compare the relationship to, mm-hmm. right? If you're getting into a monogamous relationship because you want to get laid, that's a bad reason.
Yeah.
You want to get in because you like the person, right? So first you have to be at that level where you have what I call sex on demand. And if you really want to either amp that up and live like a Dan Bilzerian sort of lifestyle, like the lifestyle I used to live, you can do that, right?
So those are your high, the clients that you're talking about are the guys that already have on-demand access to girls, but want to increase the quality of it.
Right, because whether you're looking for the one or you're looking for lots of hot girls to hook up with all the time, it's the same process, right? Yeah. And the reason why you don't most guys who come wanting that sort of coaching, they're like, I'm banging a lot of girls. They're just not the wifey quality level I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And I always know the reason is because it's hard to access the hottest girls, right? The hottest girls don't hang out online dating. They might have Tinder profiles, but they don't go on Tinder dates because why would they? They've got tons of like hot friends that invite them to fucking yacht parties every week and cool villa parties, mansion parties. Like if you're a hot girl, you have a pussy pass. And you're getting invited to everything. Why would you date a fucking dude off Tinder? You wouldn't, right? Like if you're a true, like, you know, beautiful and intelligent with resources, you're just not going to fucking use online dating, right? No, you're going to have a profile. You're going to swipe sometimes. You're going to get that validation hit, right? So those girls are on there, but they're not going on dates. So if you're only using online dating, there's no way you're going to be dating the quality of women you can get. Also, day game, you can meet that chick. Just tough. Yeah. Right, like she's gonna be walking around, and the hotter she is, the bigger her filter.
She already has cool guys that are taking her out on the things that are, you know, they're social proof and they're valuable in her eyes. So even though you look like a brave guy approaching her during the day, it's just who is this guy?
Exactly,
you have no social proof.
You might give him his number. Maybe if you're on the rebound, you'll go out with him.
Yeah,
that's kind of like the only way it's gonna
work.
Super
slim.
Super slim chances to like really land like a fucking dime from day game.
Yeah.
Same with night game.
Well,
right?
In night game, I feel like you'd have to show up with your own crew of really hot models to make yourself compete with the social proof that.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why you need a social circle, right? And when you have that social circle, that's when you can easily access these women because you've got a social circle of cool chicks and cool dudes. They bring their circle. You join circles and you get introduced. That's how I met Maria. Right through this crazy social circle of Vitaly, another dude named Stefan. You know, Maria was invited to like his birthday, and she went to the birthday, didn't really like that crew of people, but became friends with this girl, Anya. I met Anya at Vitaly's birthday. Anya and I became close. I didn't bang Anya because I knew if I did bang her, she'd probably fall in love, and I knew I wasn't like, didn't want to be with her, and she was young, you know, she was 18. I didn't want to like just use her for her pussy and then leave her like heartbroken. And I'm really glad I didn't, because she introduced me to Maria. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, long story short, we ended up engaged. So that's the value of social circle, is it gives you access to the highest quality women if you can build a high quality social circle. And where it's the difference between hunting versus farming, mm-hmm. right? Like approaching is hunting. You can become a really fucking good hunter. You can go out and you can like, you know, hunt like big game buffalo, right? Like bring one home. Like you can do that, but it has its limits. And every time you want to do that, you got to go out, you got to go to the clubs, you got to go day game, and you have to, it takes that effort. Yeah. Versus farming is a lot longer to set up. You have to cultivate the social circle, right? You got to mend your crops and got to wait for them to harvest. But when you do, right?
It's pretty reliable.
It is, yeah. So that is kind of what I'm talking about, is social circle. And so that's what Dan Bilzerian did. That's what I did. And we both found ourselves kind of like bored of it after a while. For me, I was, you know, just bored of all the parties. Each new, you know, sexual conquest or sexual experience stopped becoming as cool as the one before it, right? There was like a marginal diminishing cost,
sure.
or benefit to it. And it was kind of around that same time that I met Maria, and I was very much like sown the wild oats, happy to move like out of that stage of life. And like, I've been in a monogamous relationship now for 18 months, and like, I'm super happy. Mm-hmm. I get to play golf all the time, get to focus on other things, build this business better. And I'm not just like chasing pussy all the time, and I have no desire to go chase pussy.
With Dan Bilzerian, is it the same thing? Like you met somebody that he's excited about?
I don't think. Well, I don't know. Yeah.
At least at this point, it looks like a happy ending,
right?
Kind of thing, right? I mean, obviously there are no happy endings.
Sure.
Who knows what goes on? But was the article that he, because I feel like you had a exit strategy in a way, or at least it came into that, where you're like, cool, I climbed this mountain, now I'm ready to.
And it wasn't just like it wasn't just like I met Maria and then she took me out of it, because that would be a mistake. I had already wanted to get out of it, and I was just kind of waiting for the right person to start that relationship with.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel. And yeah.
I don't know about Dan,
because you posted in the group. I remember saying that you felt like, even I think before you met Maria, mm-hmm. you said I feel like for the first time I've kind of climbed the, you know, or maybe that's my own words, but climbed that mountain, mm-hmm. and gotten the validation that I joined this thing in the first place to get to. And I don't really see there being much more to get out of this as far as like, ooh, I wonder what that would be like. You know, you had done it all kind of thing. And then that's when I think you were ready to find somebody that you're excited about, and you found Maria.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd already kind of mentally moved on. And, you know, and that's kind of what it sounds like Dan has done as well. I don't know if he's in a relationship or what the fuck he's doing, but that's kind of where this conversation came up.
Okay.
And my response to Ford was, Ford, thanks for posting. Great read. I'm going to read his book and see how closely his version instead of resembles mine. We both came to the same conclusion. What he says about feeding the beast and an impossible to fill black hole is definitely true, but that feeling only comes after you've experienced enough of what you're looking for in the first place. I've certainly experienced with pussy, not with money, but I've always had enough money to do 99% of what I wanted. So the idea of getting uber rich doesn't appeal to me nearly as much as simply being able to spend my time doing exactly what I want every day and answering to no one. So Ford then responded to that blurb, and this brings us to kind of our next point. And Ford says, thanks, Robbie. This is better financial advice than anything posted in the investing channel. It's a small nugget of pure wisdom. And I wasn't totally sure what he meant by that. So I said to Ford, what are you referring to exactly as a small nugget of pure wisdom? He said, Robbie, here's your quote. The wisdom here is that so many guys fall into the trap of seeing someone like Bilzerian with a baller life. And they say, I want that, but first I have to make $1 million. So they jump on the gerbil wheel of making money, and they don't get off it for 2 years or 5 years or 20 years. Your wisdom here is that you started your baller life without a ton of money. Basically, anyone in this group can start their baller life right now, this year. Don't wait for some financial goal. Just live that baller life starting now. Warren Buffett recently talked about he basically eats the same food as college students and has the same level of housing as a college student. Yes, he does travel by private jet now, that is the one difference. But I wish I had this awareness earlier in my life that a bunch of money won't change your life habits. You guys are going to live pretty simple after you get rich. That is what sensible people do. So spend a good amount of your money on meaningful life experiences right now. And my response, I said, yes, so many guys think they should start with money first, and this is where they fuck up. The money changes almost nothing. It ends up hurting you in multiple ways because, for one, it can make you lazy when it comes to meeting women. The example would be trying to use your wealth to outsource your dating life. I don't want to approach women, so I'll just pay for a matchmaking service, you know, some guys might say. This doesn't work because almost only strictly shitty women need to use matchmaking services. You're attempting to skip a crucial part of the courting phase with this illusion that money allows you to bypass that problem. Secondly, it can give you doubts if women are interested in you or only your money, the classic sugar daddy problem. I said, I was both lucky and maybe somehow wise to realize this at the age of 22 when I first heard of the path of becoming a pickup artist. I was already making extremely good money for someone my age playing online poker, but I didn't realize you could even improve your skills with women prior. I thought everything was only based on looks because that's how attraction worked in my mind. But when I learned that you could improve your game, I made that my primary focus and money became way less important. Many years later, when I understood that access to pussy was a more valuable currency than money, it even further cemented this concept in my mind. I realized I could live the same lifestyle as a billionaire perpetually on a yacht with Playboy models for free by simply supplying the models because there are so many millionaires who are dying to pay for this access. I don't know if you guys realize this, but that's exactly what I did from January 2018 until late 2019 when I had to stop because I was feeling burned out from new pussy, dealing with annoying girls, douchebag rich guys, and depressed from substance abuse. So not a very happy ending sort of thing. But, and, you know, Dan Bilzerian kind of did come to that same sort of level. And the funny thing about Bilzerian is he put the pussy thing before money as well. Like, if you read his biography, I mean, he came from a lot of money. He was like a trust fund kid, but he was approaching girls in university. He was always like doing all of the hard work that I tell all guys, like Dan Bilzerian was an approach beast, like a day game beast. And no one thinks he was that. They just like, oh, he's just a fucking rich
dude. He's just rich and pays for pussy.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's not the case. Like, he had to, when you approach, you develop the skills necessary to later farm.
Yeah.
You can't farm unless you know how to hunt. And I get so many guys trying to call me, be like, I want to farm. I want to build my social circle. I'm like, do you approach? No, I don't want to approach. That's why I want to farm. I'm like, sorry, you don't get to do that. Only like solid hunters can be farmers.
Yeah.
Right. Otherwise, you know, so
the analogy breaks down a little bit there, though.
Maybe. Yeah.
Potato farmers aren't great hunters.
That's true. But you would have.
But I totally agree with your point.
Yeah. So. But yeah, so if you're listening to this and you're like, I'm going to fucking make money super hard and then I'll do coaching and training later. Like, that's, you're just setting yourself up for like more trouble down the road. Well, and that money isn't going
to
solve the problem.
You can do that if you then pay Robbie to teach you.
But every day you wait.
That process.
Right. Every day you wait, though, you're.
Or you can just start young and do it on your own kind of thing.
Exactly. Like all the guys I know who started young focused on their social skills first. I'm not saying do nothing with money. Like I was making money playing poker. I was fucking hustling.
But don't do that to the exclusion of everything else. That'd be like sitting on your ass and becoming a fat ass while focusing on money and saying, one day I'll join a gym.
That's what a lot of guys do as well. The guys who are super focused on only their net worth. No, that's what you see. They get fat ass. They're at their office all day and they're fucking loaded. They're like multimillionaires by like age 40, but they're fat. Their social skills are shit. And they're like, you know, almost getting ready to have like their first heart attack.
Yeah.
And you see that so often because that's kind of like American mentality is to fucking work hard. Like, give me the bet. Like, my boss said this to me in private equity when I was like 22 years old, my first job. He's like, Kramer, you give me 5 years of your life now. The rest of your 50 years from now will be fucking, you know. You'll
I
be
think
loaded.
He said, give me 5 years now and I'll give you the next 50
and I'll
years.
Give you the next 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, thank God that that situation didn't last. But while I was working for them, I did gain like 30 pounds and became a fat ass. And I was at the office and, you know, that was kind of like right as I was getting into pickup and social skills and self-improvement. So luckily I found the self-improvement route around that same time. But I did spend, you know, 2.5 years working there and getting fat and, you know, thinking that was the right course.
Well, and I would say I've had times where for a few months, you just move everything else out of your life to the exclusion of like, you just, everything that's not work related, you move out or just any key goal that like requires immense amounts of focus and dedication, I think periodically it can be okay to refocus fully on that.
Yeah.
But just in general, if that's your strategy for just years and years, maybe a decade, that's, I think, also foolish. I think you said about it there, like, you know, your improving your social skills compounds then, like allows your other areas of your life to benefit as well, right? Your career is going to benefit if your social skills benefit. I remember because I was doing approaching and stuff, I was becoming just more sociable in my work environment. I was able to express myself. I was able to stand up for myself more, confront issues that I saw just because I was doing this other social stuff. And then you're also enjoying yourself more on the side. So you're not going to be a weird, depressed, angry person all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, it's really important to not put that aside the whole time.
Yeah. You know, you've got your three big areas of life. You have your health, you know, your wealth and your relationships. And if one of those three pillars is out of whack, the other two also fail, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're so unhealthy and sick, your relationships are going to suffer, of course. And so will your wealth, right? You can't get out of bed. What are you going to do? Health is obviously the most important for that reason, because mm-hmm. without your health, you have nothing, right? But if you then only focus on wealth and health and you ignore relationships, you know, you're going to end up the lonely, rich sugar daddy who, you know, can't have love, or
yeah.
like you're not going to have any friends because you're not spending time. You're not cultivating those relationships. You're not, you know, investing the time to have relationships. And if you're only focused on your relationships and you're not focused at all on your career, then you don't have any
money to eat. Fucking jock that like, yeah, works at fucking Walmart or something like that. But I would say the myth in America, the dangerous part, I think, is the culture is set up to say, and I think you were touching on this before, like the pussy will come as soon as you have the money.
Right.
Which is not true.
And that's what I thought too. Which we see all the
time in this group.
I just assumed before I understood how attraction worked, I assumed that women want hot rich guys.
Yeah.
And I knew I was like a 6.5 on a good day in the hotness scale. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I got to get rich because the only way I can get a 10 is if I'm super rich.
You thought you would increase your attractiveness by being rich rather than by gaining social skills.
Exactly. I had no idea the social skills matter.
Right.
I didn't even think that it was a thing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I was clueless, but I think there's a lot of guys that just assume it's just money and how good you look.
Right.
And that's not how attraction works at all. It's like the antithesis of that.
Right.
Attraction works because women feel something from you. Mm-hmm. Right. And you can learn that. That's a skill. Attraction is a skill. Right. And you don't need money to be good at it. If you then make yourself into the full package where you do have money and you're good at attraction and you look your absolute best because you're in good shape, you're well-dressed, take care of yourself, then you like you can date fucking whoever you want,
right?
Because you're a 10 and you can get a 10. So, but guys don't realize that. They just think, got to make a lot of money.
Well, and I think, yeah, guys don't realize you can improve your social skills. So that's true as well. But I think even if guys did realize they could do that, it's easier in their mind. That's such a, like, I personally, I know how to do engineering, right? Yeah. I know how to do a job and do it well, but the whole approach women thing was just so scary. Mm-hmm. So if I think, oh, I can get there either by making money or I can get there by approaching and making myself vulnerable and getting rejected a bunch, I'm going to be like, well, let's go the money way first and try that out. Right. And you don't realize that it is a dead end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's scary. It's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's why, you know, it's you eventually have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like you're not going to make enough money to handle it.
No.
Right. I just spoke with a guy yesterday who is thinking about signing up for coaching, who's like literally runs a 200 person company, a multi-millionaire. And he's never focused on this. And the money, he's like, I'm so confident in the business world. Like I'm the most alpha guy in the room closing deals. I know billionaires. Like I saw a dude, he was telling me about a billionaire he saw at a party and he had no approach anxiety to walk up to this guy and say, hey, I read your books. I really wanted to meet you. Like, and like told him a little bit of his story and then they became buddies and like they hang out.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I had zero approach anxiety. We're just talking celebrity billionaire. But
a hot 20-year-old that's done nothing with her life so far.
Can't talk to her, don't know what to say, can't keep a conversation going.
Uh-huh.
So that I'm like, that's exactly why you need to learn these skills.
Right.
Right. And money is not going to lead you to that promised land of amazing pussy, no matter how much you make.
It can grease the wheels on the way there, but
it can give you more access.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, he was just on a Maldives trip with like 20 smoking hot models, but he didn't do very well on that trip because of this. So yeah, it can help you get access, but if you don't have the traction skills, even when you have the access, you're just going to be friend zoned. And that's almost worse than I'd almost like not go rather.
You have
not
some
go
analogy
all.
About that. Like you're at a, what is it?
Like an all you can eat buffet, but you can't eat anything. All you can eat lobster and steak buffet. But you only get one little tiny shrimp. And you got to eat only that.
Yeah, that's worse than not being at the buffet.
Yeah, I'd rather just not go. So, cool guys. As always, if you want to get help with this stuff, if you want to find out exactly what's keeping you stuck, or if you want to start building this sort of social circle model, if you're already a pretty good hunter, reach out to me. We can jump on a call and figure out what your biggest sticking point is and see if something we offer is a good fit. And thanks for listening to my crazy stories. All right, guys.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.